welcome back to the 20-Sided Podcast. My name is Brian Flaherty, and as ever, I am your Dungeon Master, and I'm joined once again by our three fabulous players. Say hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody. Hi, everybody.
We've got Chinook Tessera. We've got Abby Hepworth. And we've got Noah Gebstad.
I hated that.
And everybody, we got to do it again on the count of
three.
We
don't.
One, two, three.
No.
It's not quite R, you know, it's not quite piratey. It's just vicious
like
black.
Pirate taking a shit.
I'm going to add some sound design there. It's just going to
be
plop. Oh, no.
No.
I think it's time to go home now.
Everything.
You right. Started it.
30 seconds into the episode. Let's go.
Oh, God.
We love it. Y'all ready to play some D&D?
Let's do it.
Let's
Heck yeah.
do it. Last time on Prisoners of the Static. With number one finally revealed, Sienni spoke to the weave itself from inside the mirrored face of Mirren's robotic creation. Number one showed Sienni psychic visions of the moment the Titans broke through into the material plane, and also showed the pain caused by Mirren when he attempted to leave the static with something that had been indoctrinated. Sienni offered to help, but Sienni gave him the condition that he assist them in freeing Mirren. Curious, number one agreed. And as they climbed the stairs back to the village, they were met by number two, who attempted to dissuade number one from leaving before number one reached down and tore the pocket watch from Don Taraxa, releasing him from its possession. Number one pocketed the watch and walked up the stairs. In number two's office, Yaksha was able to contact Mirren the Maker through these series of statue video camera networks and spoke to the strange, crazed inventor, agreeing to free him with the promise that Mirren would uncover a way to free Yaksha's mother from the confines of the orb where her soul was being held prisoner. Yaksha also learned that the beholder containing Mirren was held in place by a powerful Gaia spell with its anti-magic cone trained on the prisoner. And as preparations for the carnival were nearing completion, Natasha snuck inside the canvas tent covering the carousel and found a collection of strange and monstrous beasts carved as seats upon which to ride in the mechanical arm containing 10 rings made of silver and the 11th, a brass ring. As she touched the unicorn character, it began to animate and she coaxed its growing horn into the shape of a hook before snapping it off, hoping to use it to fish out the brass ring. But when she did, the carousel began to turn. The characters began to move up and down, and the unicorn's eyes sparkled in flames.
Just regular stuff, you know?
We open inside this carousel as the gears begin to slowly turn the carousel. You hear the tinkling of its song begin slowly warped, and as it picks up speed, you begin to hear this slightly strange and sinister carnival melody. Not sinister because it was designed that way, just because the warping of the machinations that produce this sound have brought everything into like strange keys and stuff. It just sounds odd as it begins to circle around the characters moving up and down. And you look around. Go and roll me a perception check as this begins to happen.
That's 16 plus 6. So what is that, 22?
22. You look around and you see the mechanical arm has extended down so that like from the outside of this carousel, you'd be able to reach one of the rings. Holding in your hand, you have the unicorn's horn hook that you had kind of fashioned. And you know that this mechanically will give you an advantage on like help trying to grab these rings should you choose to use it. You look around and you see of the 10 characters that are on this thing, 9 of them still appear to be that kind of restored wooden paint, but the tenth one, the unicorn that you had been touching, that you snapped the horn off of, begins to move. Its hooves begin to go up and down, and its head turns to you. You see its eyes alight, and it bucks back and attempts to attack you with its hooves. I'm going to need you to roll initiative.
I will, but I also have a question. Is it like attached to the carousel via a pole? Like, does it have basically like a contained range of motion?
The carousel looks essentially like a carousel that you would imagine. All the characters are attached via poles, moving up and down. So you imagine that in its current form, it would have a contained range of motion.
Okay, so I'm rolling initiative.
I'll say for now, why don't we have everyone roll initiative?
I got a 19.
I got an 18.
I got a 9. 2 plus 7, baby. I have no spell slots, guys. Real useless, this guy.
Yes, but you have all of Boris's candy, so you have this.
Does the candy give me spell slots back?
Mugged him, and now you have that, so.
I mean, you can certainly certainly eat some of it.
It's magic candy. If Boris made it, if it's homemade, it honestly might give you something.
It is homemade candy. I might have to eat that candy.
As this thing goes, Yaksha and Sienna, can both of you roll perception checks?
Yeah.
I'm going to say to start, the DC on this, nothing's really happening right now. You're beginning to...
Nat 1
copy?
Hell yeah.
18.
Ooh.
18.
At least one of you is paying attention.
With an 18, there's still nothing to really hear. There would just be like a small tinkling of a thing beginning to start up. So for the moment, you don't notice anything is wrong. On your turn, you can make some investigation checks to try to like figure some stuff out. But at least initially, neither of you are aware of what's happening. First up is the carousel itself. Natasha, as you look over, you see this unicorn. It's like the stump where its horn would have been, kind of like goes to attack you. Because you've taken off its horn, it actually is going to have a disadvantage on this attack as the horn attempts to attack you. But I believe that's still going to hit. 21 to hit.
Yeah, that fucking hits.
You take 8 points of piercing damage.
Okay.
And that's full points because you are not yet raging.
That is correct, Brian.
That is the carousel's turn. Natasha, it is your turn. As you stand near this unicorn, having just essentially been headbutted by a kind of lumpy head rather than speared by a thing, the carousel begins to turn slowly. And you look over and you see that mechanical arm sticking out from the like exterior of the carousel with one of the silver rings glistening, offered up to be grabbed. You see the carousel going around and you realize you could attempt to grab one of these rings.
Is there anything in the structure of the carousel that would allow me to like get over to where this arm is and then basically like grab onto like a top portion or something, or like hang off so that I'm not rotating? Basically, I want to, rather than pulling out all of the silver rings first, try to use the horn to stick it in the back end to pull out the brass ring. But I need to like secure myself in order to do that, I believe.
The machination is essentially attached to like the top of the carousel and then comes down. So you could, if you wanted to try to like grab onto this arm itself, you could kind of hold on to that. Essentially attached to like the top in a way that it is not rotating with the main contraption.
I'm gonna attempt to do that. I guess first I will rage. This feels like waste of rage. I'm not gonna rage.
Okay.
Waste of rage.
So you as the carousel turns, you're essentially like, you are being brought to this mechanism.
Right.
You reach out and you're going to just grab onto this thing in order to hold onto it.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead and make an acrobatics check.
Will you allow me to do athletics instead?
Sure. I'll let you do athletics.
Okay. That's a 12 on the die plus 4 is 16.
Oh, yeah. This thing is still moving pretty slow as it's like just getting up to speed. You jump out and are holding on to this thing. Just kind of like swinging there.
And then, yeah, I want to try to stick the horn like in the back end in an attempt to cheat the system and shortcut straight to the end and pull out the brass ring from the back.
Go ahead and make a sleight of hand check. You're using the hook.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a very difficult check. So you're essentially trying to
get through a whole thing. Yeah. I'm taking a risk. It's high risk, high reward.
But you were able to coax this thing. You had a pretty high sleight of hand check. So you were able to coax this thing into a needle. This is like a chute that fits the rings perfectly, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So to get a, there's not a lot of purchase to like get something in there.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and roll a sleight of hand check.
Okay.
I'm going to say this is going to be DC 25.
Well, I mean, with DC 25, it's impossible for me to get it anyway. But I got a 15.
You try to get the thing in there, and you like the horn goes in, but it there's just nowhere for the hook to go. Yeah, you're not sure. It might work. There's definitely a way to do it, but you're not able to do it.
All right. I feel like I've done a bunch, but will you let me, as a sort of final move, pull out the first silver ring?
I said, yeah, that's an object interaction because your action is kind of going in to do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You grab the silver ring, and as you attempt to pull it, it gets stuck.
Like it's part of the game, or like it is fucked up?
There is some mechanism. There's essentially like in the center of the ring, there is a bar
mm-hmm.
that is like almost like a safety that is stopping it from getting pulled out.
Okay.
You see that this is a design mechanism, but you don't know in what way it is released. That's the end of your turn. Sienny, you are exiting Town Hall following number one.
I think I just keep following. I think we just keep going.
Number one kind of like walks out into the open air, and you see a lot of the townsfolk, they're not rattled by anything. Seeing number one, you see a lot of them kind of like look away and start like whispering to one another and quickly like hustle away.
What do you think we should do?
Be chill and not do anything wild before running it past me.
Would you like to see Mirren?
Yeah, but are you going to do anything weird when we're there?
Define weird.
Not cool.
I find my temperament to be quite temperate.
Oy, oy, oy. Yeah, I'd like to go see Mirren.
Okay.
Can I offer to see if he just wants to go hang at Ego Death?
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, number one, we have to go here to get something to give to Mirren really quick. Before we go and meet him. So let's go here. We gotta wait. And after that special meeting, then we're gonna go.
Okay. That sounds interesting.
Yes.
What do you need to get for him?
A friend had a present. Because they've missed so many birthdays. And it's kind of imperative for... He needs to see it too. It's just like special about the island too, so... We should go sit down and just wait, because that friend's going to be on their way any minute now. I said I'd meet them there before going to see Mirren, and you get it. It's an obligation.
Interesting. Okay.
And you begin to walk towards the Ego Death. Go ahead and do me a favor. Roll a perception check as you pass through the carnival.
An 18.
An 18. Still not really enough. Nothing's really happening at this point. You walk past the tent with the carousel, none the wiser of what Natasha is doing at the moment. Yaksha, you're with Gilly and Boris.
I'm licking candy and putting on a rope.
you keep licking the hard candy and the chocolates and the bum bum swizzle sticks and putting them all over this piece of waxen rope. With each lick and with each stick, Boris's soul dies just that little bit more. Gilly looks like, can I help with that? This looks fun.
Yeah, no doubt.
Hell yeah. Just licking and sticking, licking and sticking.
You guys know where Sienny is?
Go ahead and roll a perception check.
That is a dirty 20.
Ooh.
With a dirty 20, you notice a couple things. First, you see kind of a not a wave of villagers, but a surprising amount of villagers who have been doing something that you've never seen them do before, and that is move quickly and with looks of concern. And as you kind of see where they're moving away from, you see Sienny walking next to a tall, like seven and a half foot tall, gleaming white and silver automaton with this concave mirrored face, just kind of walking slowly towards the ego death. And as you see that, you also look over to the side. As you see villagers moving away, your vision happens to move over and you see the tarp of the carousel kind of billowing a bit. And you hear the kind of strange music as it is turning on the inside.
I really am enjoying this candy thing we're doing. Gilly, Forrest, do you think Sienny's over there? Is he a prisoner? Are they taking him to the prison?
It all looks kind of, I guess the only word I can think of is like chill. They look pretty chill right now.
Like a good vibe.
Yeah, I wouldn't say good vibe, but not bad. Definitely not like bad vibe, but definitely not. It's neutral vibe. Neutral vibe. Yeah, neutral.
He's pretty calm if he's a prisoner. And also, you said Natasha's in that top, right?
Oh, yeah. Natasha just said she was going to go in there for a couple of minutes. Yeah, she should have been probably back by now. I don't know what she's doing in there.
Looks like there's a kerfuffle in there or something.
You see Boris kind of like looks up, and as he looks over, you see his eyes get a little bit concerned. He's like, should it be doing that? That looks strange.
I agree. We seem to be in a little bit of predicament. I think some of us should go into the tent and someone should figure out what Sienny's doing. I'll tell you what, you two go into the tent, see what's going on with Natasha. I'll check on our pal Sienny over here.
Aye, aye, Captain. I mean, Yaksha.
No, you said it. I'm Captain now. Good.
Nope.
Welcome to the crew.
I'm going to tell Natasha that you said that. No, don't. Okay. And they scurry off towards the tent. And Yaksha, do you go straight up to number one and Sienny?
Yeah, I go like sneak up on Sienny and the group, and I try and trip because I think he's still number two. So I try and trip Don Taraxa.
And you're trying to sneak up, so go ahead and roll a stealth check.
That's a 17.
Hell yeah. And then just go ahead and roll an attack. it's just going to be a trip attack, so you just got to hit Don Trax's AC.
I think I miss him. It's a 16.
No, 16 hits. You slide your leg out. You kind of like sneak around the corner, hide behind some barrels, and as he's coming through, you slide your leg out like a baseball player. You see this small sunflower hit your leg and trip. Who is doing this? Face me like a man. And he looks and he sees you and goes, what are you doing in the shadows there?
Gotcha, you big idiot. Wait, do I see if he has the pocket watch still?
You see there is a like small kind of bleeding hole essentially where the pocket watch would have been. He dusts himself off, gets up, pulls out the rapier and kind of puts it to you. Goes,
I am Don Taraxas Talali the Fourth. I demand a combat for this indecency.
I thought you were still number two, mate.
You thought I was number two? Oh, that is a fair assumption. Yeah, that, no. She's the sword. He goes, no. I was just informed of this misfortunate happenstance myself. So I totally understand. All is forgiven.
Yeah, nice.
You do it again.
You were a real piece of shit before. You're still kind of a piece of shit, but I like you better.
There's compliments and insults all kind of wrapped into one. I don't know quite how to take it, but we'll call it a wash. And it's good to see you, my friend.
Yeah. Great to see you, pal. Great to see you. Sorry, I got carried away. Is everything cool? What's happening? Sienny, what's up, man?
Yaksha, what are you doing, man?
I'm just, you know, goofing around. I rubbed, you want some candy? I rubbed Boris with some candy.
Ooh, what do you got?
Ooh, I got some gumballs, some chocolates that are kind of melting in my hand right now. I got some toffees, some caramels. He's pretty good at making this shit.
I'll take a toffee.
Yeah, here you go.
I'm a little freak for some toffee.
You see the concave mirrored face of number one, who even as tall as you are is kind of like hovering over you just a little bit.
turns and looks down at you. You see your own reflection inverted in this like spoon-like face.
Hello, Yaksha. Would you care to join us? We are off to see Mirren.
What's up? Hey, tall guy. Who the fuck is the tall guy?
Yaksha, this is one of my best friends. You know, his name's Number One. No, you know, like our friend, like this is Number One, one of my best friends. And
yeah, I've heard a lot about you.
You know, we were about to go to, I already told you, we talked about this earlier. We got to meet our other friend, you know, our other best friend at the Ego Death. And we have to go have a drink and wait for them and wait and get the present they need for Mirren before we go see Mirren. You know, I told you all of this. It should ring all of the bells.
Do I know what he's putting down, Ryan?
Yeah, you tell me.
I feel like Yaksha and Sienny, having been bunk buddies, totally are on the same page.
You see Number One kind of cocks its head to the side in this kind of like confused puppy dog look and goes,
am I missing subtext?
Nah. Number One, it's so good to finally meet you. Sienny's been talking about you for, well, it feels like years at this point. It's great. Yeah, we're just going to go down to the bar. Why am I talking like an Italian right now?
It's like you're excited about,
really,
the goblin.
I really changed that. Let me retake that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, Number One. No, don't. Fuck, it's still Italian.
Keep it in.
Right,
it was going out before, now it's back.
I got it. All right. Yeah, no, Number One, yeah.
Hey, yo, right. Good day.
Hey, yo.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, put another shrimp on the Barbie. Ooh.
Totally see that. Yeah, Number One, we're friends. Sandy's talked about you for years. We are actually going to meet a friend to get a gift for his birthday.
Yeah, for his birthday. Oh, yeah, I'm glad you whispered it, too, because we don't want to spoil
this. Yeah. It's a surprise. It's really cool. We're very excited. We're happy that you're here to help share this moment with us.
Yes, you have surprises in your dimension, right?
Yaksha, go ahead and roll me a deception check. So you can roll it with advantage because Sienny is helping you out. This is just to kind of like let this pass over Number One's head.
Okay, that first one is a 21.
Woo!
And that second one is a 5.
Number One cocks its head again and goes,
I have never assisted in a surprise. Will you teach me to surprise?
Feels like a dangerous
move. Absolutely.
Yes. No.
I'll do you one better. Absolutely. We'll teach you a surprise and I'll give you a toffee.
Toffee?
Oh.
Yeah, toffee.
What is toffee?
Oh, it's delicious. You're going to love it. And I give him one of Boris's toffees.
You hand him one of these toffees and it just kind of holds it, examining it with no mouth with which to eat it. And as you do that, we flick back to the carousel. It is the carousel's turn. Carousel continues to rotate, but as you are hanging outside of it, you see the unicorn attempts to, like, as it passes by, it attempts to, like, ram you with its horn, is unable to because it's restrained by the pole that it's going through its body. So that is its turn, as you just see it begin to start rotating a little bit faster.
Well, I have a supremely chaotic idea that Abby wants to do, but I don't know if Natasha would do it.
Wait, sorry, is Boris and Gilly not going to the 10?
Oh, yeah, have they gotten here yet?
Boris and Gilly are going. They spend their entire turn like running there.
Okay.
They will arrive on their next turn.
Cool. Okay. Thank you for that reminder. I don't want to waste going into a rage because I only have 2 and then I have to take a long rest. But I kind of want to go into a rage and then just try to break the entire arm with all of the rings off of the carousel. Natasha is frustrated. She goes into rage.
Hell yeah, you get bushy in your bushy Natasha form.
Babushka.
Babushkat.
Babushkat. Yes, da. Natasha goes full babushkat, and then she's going to... Yeah, I'm gonna try to just break the entire arm with all of the rings off of the carousel itself.
Go ahead and
destroy property.
Roll a strength check.
All right, strength. It's a 13 plus 4 is 17. And the next one's worse. It's 11.
You wretch on this thing. This is a like fully metal thing. It is going to be a particularly difficult thing. Like this thing was meant, is like part of this entire contraption. It'll take a significant feat of strength to rip it off.
In that case, Natasha's going to climb onto the back of the nearest carousel animal.
Go ahead and roll a d10.
Gladly. 9.
You swing yourself off this thing, leap onto the nearest carousel animal, and land on what you would normally see as a displacer beast. This kind of like jet black panther with a ton of tail, like a cat of nine tails type thing on the back. But instead of being a normal looking beast, is instead you see made of vines all kind of twisted together like a topiary, and the vines kind of fling out on the back of this thing. As you land on it, you feel it depress down and you hear a click from the mechanical arm and you see that restraining bolt no longer in place.
My original full chaos idea, I feel like, is coming to fruition, Brian. So I'm going to grab that ring.
Go ahead. Are you going to do it with the hook or just with your hand?
Will the hook give me advantage?
It won't give you advantage. It'll give you a +2 to your sleight of hand check.
Yeah, then I will do it with the hook.
First one is a DC 10.
Okay. And it's sleight of hand plus an additional 2.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's an 8.
An 8. You get your bearings, and as you spin around this thing, you look, and the unicorn in front of you like turns its head and its eyes flame up, and it tries to buck at you but is unable to hit you while you're on this thing, and you just miss this thing as it goes by. Is there anything else you want to do with your turn?
The things I want to do, I think are like overreaching, like they're true like actions. So no, I guess I just stay on the.
Well, I would say reaching for the ring is just an object interaction, so you still have a full action.
Okay, all right. So I'll tell you, my plan is that I want to cut all the animals free from the carousel so that they can wreak havoc upon the village.
Okay. Currently, the only thing that's animated is the unicorn.
Yes. How hard would it be for me to use my sickle or warhammer to basically break the pole that is containing the unicorn?
Oh my God. Definitely a warhammer thing. I think the sickle wouldn't really work.
I was thinking like chopping wood, like if I had a battle axe, chopping.
If you had an axe, yes. Cool. But you have a sickle.
Yes.
So I would say warhammer definitely could do it.
Cool.
You would essentially have to break the pole above and below.
Yeah.
I believe you have 2 attacks though.
Duh.
Each of them are a DC 15. They have 15 hit points and a damage threshold of 10. So you have to do at least 10 points of damage. Otherwise, you do no damage at all.
Even if I roll max damage, I can't do it in one shot. And I feel like to break them all free, doing multiple hits to everything, like that's just going to be too much. Also, this unicorn very rightfully has a vendetta against me. I stole his beautiful horn. and like want to put it back, but I need some glue. I think I'm gonna leap off the displacer beast and try to run like backwards on the carousel to try to get on another animal so that I'll have another chance when I pass by the arm. Like I want to try to outrun the carousel to get another chance to grab the ring.
That's so funny.
So you want to run backwards, jump on another beast.
Like Looney Tunes cartoon right here.
It feels very Wile E. Coyote.
Sure. At this point, the carousel is still moving slow enough that I will allow you to do this.
I don't need to have a second turn to grab the ring. I just want to run to get into position to be able to do it on my next turn.
Okay. Are you looking to jump on any animal in particular? Or there's a dragon, a nightmare, a unicorn, a dragon turtle, a hydra, a basilisk, a banshee, a dandelion, a vine displacer beast, and a purple worm.
I mean, what's behind the displacer beast?
It's the dandelion is immediately behind it.
Last but not least, the purple worm.
I was going to say, Dandelion just feels weird. It's another big cat. Yes, but Natasha does. She just sort of pretend it's like wrestle with, you know, with brother or with cousin. She leap onto back of Dandelion.
Okay, you run backwards, hop on the back of the Dandelion, and swing yourself around, readying yourself to grab for this ring. Sienni, you and Yaksha are walking towards the Ego Death.
Have I inadvertently split us up yet again?
I mean, you guys are walking towards the Ego Death. It's in the opposite direction of the carousel.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you guys rolled perception. Like, you didn't know, so...
I didn't know.
It's fair game.
I rolled a nat one. I was already doomed.
Hey, I think Natasha's in that tent over there. You see how it's kerfuffling?
Yeah.
I'm not saying we should stop. I think she's probably fine. You know, Natasha, she's just a kooky little sea captain. We should probably, though, let her know that we're going to the Ego Death. So why don't we write a little note, and I'll put on one of my arrows and shoot it kind of at the tent. Not, like, hit it or anything. Just because I might hit her, but...
Oh, I love that idea. Yeah. Do you think she needs our help?
Natasha usually can just do things by herself, I feel like. The only time she needed our help was when she was petrified, and then after that, she's been pretty solid.
Yeah, when we were walking, I'm surprised you noticed that, but in my head, I was thinking about, you remember when you think about, like, a weird old memory?
Yeah.
I was thinking about a class one time. Literally, I don't know why my mind went there. I think that's just mostly anxiety. I was thinking about a class I was teaching, and I did let out a little toot. And I'm like, the kids knew it. The kids knew. But I don't. So, you know. So that's why I didn't notice. Because I don't want to be a bad friend. So don't, like, when if she does get in trouble and she's like, why didn't you notice? Just, like, have my back.
Because
I was embarrassed.
You were embarrassed. Yeah.
Because I was like.
No, I get it.
Because I think that memory came up because I'm tense right now. Because, you know, this mirror guy.
Yeah.
But this is all to say, I love the arrow idea.
All right, yeah. Let's do you have a piece of paper and you want to write the note?
Yeah, Sienni takes out a really nice book, flips to a page, like very very fast but methodically, like creases the paper, tears it off, gets a really nice fountain pen, like has like a whole contraption, he puts a little wooden plank on his forearm, puts up a inkwell, gets his fountain pen, like a whole like impromptu writing setup, sets up the fountain pen, slowly asks number one, like, can I borrow your back?
Certainly, this could wait until we get to the Ego Death.
No, this is actually part of the surprise. Like, we need to let our other friend know. It's kind of like a flash mob.
Of course. I do not yet understand surprises. My apologies.
That's all right. So I write the note, and like it's nicer than it needed to be.
I'm just remembering the last time.
And then I wax seal it. And then I wax seal it and it spritz perfume on it.
Where did you get the perfume from, mate?
I stole it.
Nice.
In another life.
There's so much I don't know about you.
In due time.
Cool. I take the note. Yaksha takes the note from Sienni. Tries to like not poke it, that like it disrupts any of the nice thing. Like gently like stabs the arrow through so it could carry the letter. It's like, I hope I didn't get anything important. And then I'm going to shoot it at the carousel.
Go ahead and roll an attack.
25.
Yeah, with 25, where exactly are you trying to get it to hit?
I guess I'm going to try and like aim it to where like the like tarp isn't like fluffing, so it like goes through it, but in a hopefully a way that like I know I'm not going to hit anyone inside.
With a 25, you make your very best guess at that. We're going to see how that happens. You pierce this beautiful letter, wax sealed, perfumed, and embossed. You fire it, and it flies, disappears through the tarp, just as Boris and Gilly are opening up the tarp.
Oh, no! What a mistake.
Not hitting them. Like, they open it up, and that gives you the moment that you can shoot through.
Cool.
Natasha, you see the tarp opens up as you are riding on this dandelion, and you see Boris and Gilly running through, and then an arrow lands in the center of this carousel. And even from here, you can tell, man, that's a nice looking letter. Jesus.
It's a good looking letter.
You can smell the perfume as you're going around. Yaksh and Boris look at you on this carousel as it's spinning around. The animals going up and down. Most of 9 out of 10 of them still wooden. One, the unicorn, kind of like bucking and moving around, trying to get at you. Now a couple spaces away, like has no chance of hitting you. Natasha, what is that? Why is it alive?
He's demon unicorn. He's the demon unicorn. I think that all of the creatures in unicorn come to life with certain I have yet to figure out. But look, I found the rings.
What? But that's silver. We need a brass ring. So like maybe get off the demon carousel.
It's at the back of the, you have to go through 11 of the rings and it's a back of rings.
Oh,
it's
shit.
Last of the rings, you know, of course, is prize, so you have to make game of it, this stupid game.
And as this is happening, you're just continuing to go around. It's just like the volume is going up and down and stuff.
So what do you want us to do, boss?
Let's retrieve letter, see what letter says.
They jump onto the carousel, open up the letter, and show you...
Oh, it's from Sieni and Yaksha. I guess they're going to the Ego Death. They want us to meet them there.
Is that all it says?
Yeah, I mean, I'm paraphrasing. There's a lot of flowery, there's a lot of adverbs and things.
Yeah, but I would like if it's super flowery and all it says is, what's up? it's me, Sieni, going to Ego Death. We found number one. Pretend we're going to a surprise party. Miss you. XOXO.
Sieni.
Can it?
Gossip Girl.
What's up?
Same universe. It's canon now.
It's canon. Sieni is Gossip Girl in this world.
Sieni is Gossip Girl. That's who he stole the perfume from.
They read it out to you. And Natasha, as they do, it is the carousel's turn.
Ah, frick.
As you have pulled a ring, you see in front of you the vine displacer beast, the tails that you had seen in this kind of static, menacing motion, flick back to you. As the displacer beast itself turns around, looks at you riding on top of the dandelion, and makes an attack. Ooh, that is a nat 20.
Oh, fork.
Luckily, you raged.
Oh, this is true.
That would have been 3d8 instead 68.
Oh my god.
28 plus 5 is 33, halved to 16.
Okay.
And you are grappled in place by these things.
This is not ideal.
You see the vines wrap around you as Boris goes, Natasha, I'm coming! Boris runs up, jumps on top of the displacer beast, and attempts to attack it. He's going to just like stab at this thing. Boris jumps up and just starts wailing on this thing, punching it left and right. You see bits of wood are like flying off of this thing, but it is not stopping.
Am I coming up around to the rings?
Yeah, essentially every turn. You'll come around to the rings.
And am I grappled in such a way that I don't have like a free arm?
No, you will have a free arm.
First thing I'm going to do is try to grab for the ring.
Go ahead and roll a sleight of hand check. That's DC 11.
Okay. Oh, crap. It gets harder? I didn't even get the first one. And do I still get a plus 2 because I'm using the...
Yes, you get a plus 2.
Hook? Okay, cool. So that is a dirty 20.
You... hook onto one of the rings and pull it out. As you do, can you go ahead and roll a d10 for me?
Gladly. Another 4, my lucky number for the night.
You see a number in front of you, actually like almost across the way, the massive dragon turtle begins to in place. It turns back towards you. It opens its maw. And water begins to flood out of it. as that happens, you see the carousel from the top, a wall from all around begins to come down.
Wait,
attempting
what?
To like seal in the carousel.
And drown us?
Certainly seems that way.
Fuck! Oh.
Oh no.
Shit.
Oh no.
Oh, this feels misguided.
I'm gonna say it. Big yikes. Big yikes.
I thought this was gonna be way easier than what it's become.
I had a whole
idea
where I was like, oh, it's wood. We use fire. And then it was like, oh, or if we can get Sienny, we can, like, you can make termites or mold. We just decompose wood from inside out.
Yeah, that.
But I think I'll drown before you get here.
No.
Cool. Is it still my turn?
It's still your turn. All you've done is use your object interaction.
Okay. I'm gonna yell at Boris and Gilly, get off of carousel and go to Eagle Death. And then I'm gonna attempt to break out of the grapple.
Natasha, are you sure?
Da, run!
They jump off and start heading back. Go ahead and make a strength check. It'll be contested. You've got to be a 13.
Ha ha! Well, I roll with advantage, but the first one's a nat 20, baby!
Ooh!
And the second one's a 4! Plus 4 is 8.
You reach down, and as you attempt to, like, pull these things off, what you were trying to do is just pull off something that feels kind of viscous. Instead, you shatter these things and snap them fully off. The displacer beast, still skewered essentially on its pole, roars back and tries to like swipe at you, but is its tail was its only thing that could reach you, attempts to swipe at you. You are free of the grapple, still riding on top of the dandelion.
I'm just like maiming these things left and right. All right, I'm gonna... I'm just gonna get off the carousel and try to get out before the wall comes down.
Go ahead and just make me a dexterity check.
Okay. 15.
You leap off of this thing, and as you do, you hear that mechanical click from inside the arm mechanism. As you leap off the carousel, the walls finish coming down, and you see the water begin to fill up as the carousel spins faster and faster and faster. The tune beginning to get distorted as it goes faster and faster. You jump out clear. You see the walls fall down, cutting you off from the carousel and the rings inside. It begins to spin faster and faster as the water fills up. And as the water hits the top, you see the carousel begin to, through this distorted underwater sound, the song begins to get slower and slower as the carousel slows down as well. And then you see the water drain out through some unseen duct or vent, and the walls go back up.
This is Natasha's nightmare. She hates this, and she is still fully in rage.
Natasha, you say this is Natasha's nightmare.
But she wasn't in it.
I knew he was going to do it.
To be fair, I think she's recognizing like what mechanically needs to happen in order to get that brass ring, unless she goes the route of brute force, and it is not her favorite thing. It's not ideal.
No.
Natasha, I need you to roll your fear dice.
Yeah, you do. No. Yeah, you do. 6.
Okay. You steel your mind against what is likely Natasha's only fear.
She's trying to convince herself that she could still use brute force. There is a way to just use beef. I am beef a woman. I am strong, independent. I don't need no other plan. we're just going to beef our way through this.
Natasha has solved a lot of things through brute force. That is something that has very rarely steered you wrong. Mm-hmm. You think that is probably something that will work here. You recognize brute force will probably work. How much brute force, you don't really know. but you do recognize there is a timer on this task. Can you get enough brute force out before that time runs out?
Okay.
The carousel slows to a stop. You see the creatures that were animated slowly deanimate, come back into a wooden position. The unicorn still missing its horn. The displacer beast still missing part of their tails. And it stops in place.
Natasha has half a mind to like take her warhammer and just go to town on the wood. But she's not going to. No, she's going to remember the note. And
I will say the last time you damaged this thing, it started up.
That's true. I'd forgotten that. Cool. Okay. Yes. She remembers this. She knows that it's really just the rage talking. And so she is going to go to find her friends at the Eco Death.
Natasha turns around from this thing, exits through the tarp, looking back at this thing. What is Natasha feeling as she exits through this tarp and looks back at this carousel that for a brief moment sparked a bit of fear inside of her?
I think Natasha is trying to, even in her own mind, kind of like put up a front of like, fuck that shit. And, and be like, we don't need stupid ring, it's fine. Or like saying, you know, she could beef her way through it. But there's a growing part of her, like in her gut, that recognizes that this is probably something that needs to be done and needs to be done the way she saw or like how she suspects. And she is deeply unnerved, and it takes much longer than usual for her to come out of her rage.
A sea captain often knows that storms are an inevitability. You can try your best to go around one, but many times on the open sea, the only way through a storm is straight through it. You follow behind Boris and Gilly, who are well ahead of you, running off towards the Eco Death, as Yaksha and Sieni are entering into the Eco Death with number one. It's like a pretty, it's, you know, evening time. The carnival has like all the preparations for it finishing up have kind of quieted down. So the place is bustling in a way that you haven't really, you've only been here in like the morning. So it's pretty filled. You see number 808, Bonnie Bob, behind the bar, kind of polishing some drinks, you know, guffawing with the usual, with regulars and stuff. Well, I know what you're saying there, but quite frankly, I mean, I think that this carnival is going to be really the best that we've ever had. Are you excited to go on that carousel? I can't wait to ride that thing. I've been trying to get on that thing for... And all of a sudden, he looks over, clocks number one. The glass in his hand falls to the ground, shatters. The entire bar stops what they're doing, looks over, and sees the almost face of number one with the two of you standing next to it. Number one kind of looks down to the two of you.
Is this a surprise?
No, they're everyone's in on it. Hey guys, this is not the surprise yet. And I like see he sends eyes over to the bartender and goes, no, like, but hey, I'm glad everyone's on their toes, but everyone needs to be calm because the surprise party is not happening just yet. Where's an open booth we can go and sit and plan the surprise?
Go and roll a
please.
Go and roll a persuasion check with advantage. Because you said please, and because you have everyone's undivided attention right now.
A 19?
You see a group over in kind of your guys' corner booth that you had visited when you first got here immediately vacates the booth. And kind of as you guys pass and go sit in the booth, they run out the door. And you see lots of other people are returning to their conversations, but clearly like, in a way, like, let's get the check and get the fuck out of here type thing.
What have I done?
Who are we hanging out with? Oh, no.
You guys are straight up hanging out with Voldemort right now.
Oh boy.
Yeah, like I feel like I'm wining dining someone bad. And I don't know.
Brian, the
table talk. We don't know if he's bad yet, right?
We don't know anything. Everything I thought was okay, real, like, I feel has been turned right on its head, and so I don't know anything anymore.
I don't know anything. The only thing I know is, like, I want to go see Mirren.
Yeah.
I want to see Mirren.
And that we none of us can drink any more joy.
None of us can drink.
If either of you want, you can roll an insight check on kind of the crowd.
Wait, yeah, can someone roll one? Because I want to know if the feeling that these people are experiencing is dread. Or if it's just like freak.
I have a +4 insight.
I have a +7.
I'll let one of you roll. One of you can roll with advantage. Partially because someone's giving you the help action. Partially because you're seeing it. You're not inspecting one person. You're inspecting like 100 people all having the same reaction.
Okay. That first one's a 25. And that second one is a nat 1.
So you'll take that 25, I'm guessing. You want the 25? Or do you want the 1?
Definitely want the 25.
I don't know. It could be a better story if you get the 1. I mean, who's, you know? are you chasing the witch?
Think about it narratively.
Let's do both and see which one I like better.
Yeah.
A little A-B testing?
Let's do.
This is where it splits into a choose your own adventure sort of thing.
You look at the assorted villagers all with their numbered badges on their chests, all with their similar kind of jacket, like black and blue jackets with like white piping around them. You scan through the bar and you see people glancing back at number one, kind of looking and then looking away very quickly. It's tough for you to tell from all these people who are kind of looking and looking away. You try to catch little bits of it, but you can't quite get the full picture. You get little bits and pieces of it. It's only when you look at number 808, who, unlike the rest of the bar, is not looking and looking away. He is staring straight down into number one. And you see his eyes wide, his mouth slightly agape. You know two things. One, you don't necessarily see recognition in his eyes. Like, it's not like he's seeing number one all the time and is like surprised to see this person. It's like seeing a celebrity on the street. Like, you're surprised to be seeing them at all, kind of. So this is clearly a rare, if not unique, occurrence. The second is you see the very familiar look of a man stricken by dread.
Ah, shit. Mm.
I look at CNA, I'm like, I think number one's putting out bad vibes to the other villages.
Yeah, this stinks. This really does stink, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm spooked. I'm spooked.
let me go get a bit of a 411. What's a 401?
That's like a
411.
It's an area code.
411. Yeah, 401's an area code.
401.
Back in the
Wait, really quick. What's an area code?
It's like you ever have
when you send a letter.
It's you know, when we send letters and there's the code you could put at the, like, you know, it sends it to Vena or like the Twin Ports or something. You have to put that little code there. That's what an area code is on letters. It's for some guy that you know, has these elaborate letters. How do you not know this?
I give them to the post office. I don't. I have time to. Yeah. You think I'm stamping my own letters?
You have a grad student do it for you?
Yeah, I got my TAs. So Sienna goes 808. I go to 808 and I leave the table. Oh, I'm getting a round of drinks. What does everybody want? And I just kind of assign everyone a drink. Like, oh, you want that? That? All right. That. Okay. Cool. Yep. All right. And I go. Go to 808.
Like, number one is just like sitting at the table, kind of like you see number one is like trying out ticks, kind of. them kind of like looking around and catching other people at the bar and kind of just like experimenting with their little ticks and stuff. So he's like, they're like bopping their knee or they're like tapping the table.
As Sienny leaves, Yaksha's like, so you
You come here often?
You just see its head kind of like tilt as we flick over to the bar. Sienna, you walk up to 808, who is just kind of polishing the same glass to a pure shine as his eyes are just kind of fixed on number one.
So is it a bad idea that we brought him here, or?
Well, you're here with, that's number one, right?
Yeah, he seems kind of cool though, right? Like he's like chill-ish, you know?
But that's number one. Number one can't be here. Cause it's number one.
Why can't he be here if he's number one? Why are those mutually exclusive?
Go ahead and roll an insight check.
An 800. So answer the question.
I got a nat 30.
Insight, that would be a 22.
Ooh.
Hell yeah.
So
not bad, my friend.
You see him searching for an answer that he cannot quite provide. He is kind of stuttering. He's like, but that's number one. Number one's not supposed to be here. You kind of look around and you see this in the other villagers as well. And I think Yaksha, it's about this time as this kind of the time that you're noticing this as well. Everyone's seeing number one as a thing that shouldn't exist, a thing that shouldn't be there. And I think Sieni, after having been inside the mind, as it were, the being of number one, of the weave itself, you know the kind of pain it feels from the emotions of humanity and just the feeling of humanity. You see a mortal, a person looking at number one, looking into its concaved mirrored face, seeing not only joys and happiness and sadness, but seeing their fears and their dreads. And it is terrifying. It's seeing a roiling ball of emotions that these people who are indoctrinated into the village, who are essentially at that tabula rasa phase, have not experienced in some time.
Oh, are we hanging out with a god?
Yeah, 808. So how many times have y'all seen number one kind of strolling about?
I never have seen anything like that. This is the village. That number one shouldn't be in the village. Number one's just supposed to take care of the village. Number two's supposed to keep number one away. Number one shouldn't be here. This is...
Why keep him away, though? Just because you guys don't want to experience your feelings?
This is a safe... The village is a good, calm, safe spot. Number... That's not okay.
What happens if we go get Mirren with him?
For the first time, you see his eyes kind of like flick more to you. He goes, "What do you mean? Who are you talking about?"
Mirren, the maker, the person that designed all this.
Well, how do you know about Mirren? Our guest is. I've been told to keep him a secret.
I know we had. Don't worry about how I know things. I know a lot of things. But just know there's a lot of people on this island right now, in this village, per se, that know exactly where Mirren is and are just trying to get him out of his confinement.
I've been told that the guest downstairs it's very important that they stay down there for the safety and security of this village.
I think that's a ruse, my friend. We've been told by the man himself that he would like to get out and he is imprisoned.
You spoken to the our guest down there?
Yes.
You know, I don't mean to tell you your business, but from my understanding is this is a person that is to be contained and not necessarily trusted.
I think that was who told you that?
Number two.
Huh.
Sienna gets out his pipe and starts lighting it. Very Columbo. Just like, oh, and one more thing. I call Yaksha over really quick to be like, oh, like, I need help carrying the glasses back to the table.
Oh, yeah, totally. Gotcha, man.
Do you need any help with that?
Nah, you just chill there.
No,
we got
you're so
we,
good. Yeah, oh God,
we're gonna bring
so
it to you.
Right
you're
now.
Fine.
No, take
you're,
a load
thanks
off.
Thanks for offering. We got your drinks. We got drinks are on us.
Drinks are on us.
You're great.
Tonight.
You're great,
is this
mate.
Part of doing a surprise.
Nah, this is called friendship and surprise.
Yeah, this is and surprise. Friendship and surprise. Yeah. It's the first part of a surprise, which is the foundation of friendship.
Yes. I'm keen to understand surprise. I have
Me
yet
too.
To be surprised.
When it happens, you'll know, and it's going to rock your socks.
Yeah, your socks right off.
Stop making that face, Brian.
Yaksha, yeah, for the viewers at home, Brian is wide-eyed at us, and I'm so terrified.
Freaking creepy.
So, Yaksha, here's the thing. Number one, a bit crazy. Everyone's seeing their, you know, hopes and fears and dreams and every emotion in his weird little mirror face. I don't necessarily know he's not bad. I don't think he's bad. We have to trust the letter. Find number one. Don't trust number two. Right? That's what it said.
Yeah, that's what it said.
So everyone here at this bar sees number one's sees their fears and hopes and dreams and all their emotions in number one's face.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't necessarily think he's bad. I think he's neutral.
Yeah.
But everyone here has been told by number two that Mirren has to stay down there, and they've been told not to talk about Mirren to any visitors. Already weird. I'm already getting weird vibes. But number one seems like a chill guy, but also I don't trust him as far as, like, his power seems wild. So I got a real dumb idea.
What's that?
And
I love a dumb idea from you.
What if we break down what a surprise is and have him go be the first one to go look at the beholder and fight the beholder and be like, that's the person you have to get a surprise from and you have to get close and like inside is the present. I don't know how we would explain it, but he's obviously trying to mimic movements, which makes me think he would mimic and kill the beholder.
Yeah.
And then get to Mirren, which I think Mirren wants to see number one as well, because we're not supposed to trust number two. So what if this is a way for us to bamboozle the beholder and kill it?
Yeah, I also found out, I didn't even tell you this, I talked to Mirren in number two's office. Behold his name, Chauncey. Can you believe that? His name is Chauncey.
That's insane. That's insane. What?
Yeah, ridiculous. We should,
like a little schoolboy?
Yeah, we should absolutely get number one to go surprise Chauncey.
Chauncey?
It's Chauncey's birthday. We could go make number one. Let's go tell him it's Chauncey's birthday, and then he's going to go surprise him and kill him.
This plan is flawless.
We're going to surprise Chauncey with death.
That piece of shit.
I still don't know if I'm in the wrong.
It's about now that Boris and Gilly run in. They burst in. They're looking. He goes, guys, Natasha needs help. There's a carousel, and it's like a demon carousel. And then the water was coming out, and it was going to seal her in. And then she told us to leave and go find you guys. And then I think she's in real trouble, so we got to go back. And then you just see the doors open again, and Natasha just waltzes in.
Oh, hey, Natasha.
Hey, Natasha.
Hey, everyone. Boris, you've been eating too much candy.
Oh, my God, Natasha. And he just runs over and hugs you really big.
Gilly
looks over and just like, hey, boss, I never had any worries. You just see her sweats pouring down her brow.
Having recently been scared, which is not a feeling she has very often, Natasha, I think, gives Boris like a one-armed hug. She's not yet so terrified that she's doing a full big hug, but she gives him a one-armed where she's like, yeah, I'm good. I'm happy to see you.
Aww. Boris snuggles in even deeper. Like, he recognizes the little bit of emotion there.
Okay, so this is what? Who is this? And Natasha clocks number one.
who she's never seen That's before.
Natasha, number one. Number one, Natasha. He is cool and good and not going to do anything weird.
He's going to help right, us number surprise one. Chauncey.
Yeah, he's going to help us surprise Chauncey for their big surprise birthday party.
That we're all in on.
Can Natasha...
That we.
Can I roll either... I want to roll perception, but perception or insight or something to be like, the fuck are these two fools talking about?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. For Yaksha or Sieni, either one of you go ahead and roll a persuasion check. If you beat, I'll say you can roll with advantage. If you beat a 20, you'll give Natasha advantage on this insight check.
My persuasion.
I have zero persuasion.
Okay, mine's plus six.
Oh my gosh, man.
Yeah, I have zero.
You can roll with advantage because you're doing it together.
Okay, that first one's an 11. Here we go for the marbles. 21.
Okay, Natasha, go ahead and roll insight with advantage.
Insight, okay.
Yeah.
That first one is a dirty 20. And the second one's a nat 1.
Oh, man. So you're going to take the 1, right?
Yeah, of course.
No, dirty 20s, plenty. You don't fully understand what they're talking about, but you recognize that this is a yes and situation.
Yes, da, and Chauncey is friend for birthday.
Chauncey's the beholder.
Da, oh, really? This is his name?
Yeah, that's his name. Mirren said so.
Like a little schoolboy.
You talk to Mirren?
That's late for class.
Yeah.
This is... That carousel took a lot longer than I realize.
Did you get my note?
Nah, I get your note. It was...
Pretty good note, right?
You worked really hard on it.
It was beautiful penmanship.
Why, thank you.
Natasha's like...
I praise.
She's trying to compliment you, but also is like, that note was mostly useless. She, I think she's a little thrown off guard by number one.
He's kind of weird. Don't look him in the eye.
You see, number one stands up and walks over to you guys.
Hello, Natasha. Are you part of the surprise?
Da. Are you part of the surprise?
I am learning about surprises. I am keen to understand surprise.
Yeah, so here it is, Stretch. our friend Chauncey, downstairs, guarding the prison. You might know him.
Yes, Chauncey is the warden.
Yeah. We're going to surprise him. You're going to go down there and surprise him.
What kind of surprise?
I didn't think this far. You know, you're just going to...
Neither did I.
You're just going to go in there, open the door, make him come out. Maybe make him stop looking at the whole thing to get a good look at you. And you're going to go down there and say, hey, Chauncey, I need you to come look at this.
Yeah, and we actually found, so Chauncey and I are pen pals, and that's where you write somebody, you know, every day and just kind of tell them about your feelings. And Chauncey went, I would love to see the furthest beach on the island and watch the sunset with my friend number one. And I was like, oh my God, we can plan this. And he's going to be so surprised, actually. So you just have to go down there and take him to the furthest beach on the island.
I feel like Natasha has little understanding of what's happening, but is like, this is so stupid. But she doesn't know enough to be able to step in with anything better. She's just kind of sitting there waiting for this all to go to shit.
I think it's stupid enough to work, though.
You know, ACS, the mixologist spider works. Oh, why not? Yeah, pen pal
deception.
We just need to get him. I don't care if they go to a beach. We just need to get them out of there long enough to break Mirren out, and then we can hide somewhere.
Where did you get your PhD?
The school of goofy vibes.
Were we not still going to be 22?
Oh my god, we forgot about 22.
you guys aren't supposed to meet with 22 till like midnight. So I'm just like 9 p.m. right anymore. Now.
I don't. I'm confident we could take number one. Before we meet Chauncey, we can go to number 22 too, because he may have some more insight into number one too. This is just a real backup plan if we need
to. No, keep going.
I'm fine with ditching this.
This plan is already happening. We are doing this plan.
I like going to number 22 though too, because then we get to get more insight.
I'm not going to 22, mate. We're doing this plan.
You guys have already explained what a pen pal is. There's no turning back.
Yeah, no way to stop the train now.
Number one looks down at you guys as you explain that you want to get the beholder Chauncey away to a different beach
to watch the sunset.
From my understanding, the beholder, Chauncey, is under the effects of a powerful Gaius spell designed by Mira the Maker for his Arcanist Oubliette, by which he is contained. Should Chauncey look away, he will take immense amounts of psychic damage and possibly die. Is death the surprise?
No, like, it's actually, there's been, like, a few runes placed, so, to allow him to go, Mirren made a few runes, so it's actually all good. That wouldn't actually happen to him, so, like, no, like, he would be A-okay.
So that's gonna be a deception check.
Sienny.
Can I help? Can I give the help action to Sienny?
Tell me how you are giving the help action.
Yaksha has takes out a paper and like draws this, like some fake runes to be like, see, look, this is what they kind of look like.
You are speaking to
God,
the physical manifestation of the entirety of magic. Go ahead and roll an arcana check.
No!
To see if you can.
You guys!
Can I help him with my arcana?
Oh, this is insane. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, yes. I will let you try to go over, like, redraw
give
his runes as he's doing it.
Give the help action.
Yeah, this is going to be great. So go ahead and roll your arcana check with advantage.
That's a nat 20.
Wonderful. You stumble into, like, perfectly drawn runes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
All right. No notes.
No notes.
I went to community college. Well, assembly gives you a free community college.
So, Sienny, you can go ahead and roll a deception check with advantage. I'm going to tell you right now. Number one has a +7 to insight, rolled a natural 15. You've got to beat a 22.
Ay, ay, ay. Ay, vey. That sucked. A deception? An 11.
Oof.
Oh.
You see number one cock its head.
I don't understand.
What?
You are lying to me.
No.
Is deception an aspect of friendship or of surprise?
Actually,
to both,
yeah.
Actually. It's actually to both.
Understood. I will increase my deception in our friendship.
Just Sienny's friendship, not my friendship with you. That's a different type of friendship.
Yeah, just me. It's not. You should just talk to me deceptively.
I'm sorry. My question was, is deception a part of friendship, not a part of our friendship? You answered in the affirmative. Therefore, deception is applicable to all friendships.
Wait, no. Friendships are very...
surprises.
Oh, it's a nuanced thing, mate. It's very nuanced, depending... Whatever, all right.
Yeah, you gotta be nuanced. Do you know about nuance? Can we teach you about nuance?
Natasha rolls eyes and takes out her flask and takes big swig of vodka.
And I think that's a good place to end the episode.
No.
God damn it.
Have I completely...
fudged us.
I really
made a lot of wild choices in the last few episodes.
Both but me and Natasha, who I feel like is sitting here being like, I truly don't know how to help. I feel like this has gone so far beyond the point of control.
What? I don't even understand how we got here.
I
Why
don't
are we
know
trying to deceive him?
What's happening? I don't know how to help.
We've like overcomplicated a very simple task. He was gonna go free Mirren, and we introduced a surprise. We introduced a friend who I don't
you
know.
You also easily could have been like, yes, deception is part of surprises, but it is not part of friendship. Yeah,
why did you say friendship?
And you
too?
Were just like, yeah, it's you part of both.
You know, here's the thing, y'all. I just needed all of us to be at the same table again before I go anywhere with this freak. And I'm just trying to get us all in the same room so I'm not the only one walking with a guy with a face for a mirror, or a mirror for a face.
Jesus.
If Natasha was the last friend, we could have just said surprise and then moved on with her.
That's life. Where I thought you were going with this. I thought that when I showed up, you'd be like, surprise.
Well, like, that was kind of the idea, or the friend would have never showed up, and it was just a moment, but then
you
I got the dumb idea
stall.
At the bar to be like, ooh, like, we could kill a beholder with this guy. And that was my dumb idea. So it's a lot of good ideas in the moment being fleshed out into bad ideas.
You guys really find anything that is remotely shiny and decide you must inspect it. And I love it.
Yeah.
We did nothing. This episode. We've learned nothing new. We have no new things. We've done literally nothing in this episode.
That's not true. Natasha has a bunch of information about how to get the brass ring, but we still don't know why we need it.
We need to get out, don't we? That's what we need to get out.
Yeah, but why? Like, what is it going to do? Oh, we don't know what it does for us.
That's also true.
I think we need to go to number 22. That's my thing. We have number one, and he's just kind of being an idiot now, but like, we can like continue to
be like you wait here.
Yeah.
No, we should not. If we no, we need to go free. We should not make him wait at the bar without us. He's going to leave. We need to go free Mirren.
Oh my god.
Honestly, let's forget about number 22. I don't think he can tell us anything else at this point. Maybe he's fine. Let's just leave him on the island. Let's just leave him on the island. Let's just leave him here.
Ooh, this was chaos.
I love this.
It
episode.
Is fun because I do feel like Natasha's reaching a point where she's basically on the verge of a rage at every moment because she's like, the fuck is happening in this town? She's just going to start raging left and right, outside of battle, in battle.
I guess we'll see what happens with this madness that you guys have concocted.
Jesus.
Next time on the 20 Sided Podcast. Until then, bye-bye, everybody.
Gonna need a stiff drink.
Stiff drink.
Ay, ay, ay.
Stiff.
I don't trust number one. I guess I still don't trust number one.